We're continuing our series, Jelly and Jam, and I was thinking I hope nobody got in a jam getting here this morning, but, we're talking about what to do when you get in a jam in this series. We're looking at how to face the challenges of life, and I've said by the grace of God, it is possible, despite whatever hurt or pain, that it is possible to overcome any and everything. And so I just wonder today, is anybody in a difficult situation? Anybody facing a challenging situation? You know, maybe a parental challenge. Maybe you're trying to get a handle on your finances, or you're dealing with an obstacle at school or work, or, you know, with a friendship. Whatever it is, for some of you, you're tired. You're frustrated. In fact, as I've been talking, you're going, that's me. You know, I've been trying, and I can't get any ground on this issue. And you're to that point where you're like, why even try? And the truth is, you're about to give up in that area. And it could be a big thing, or it might be a small thing. You know, maybe ready to quit on a marriage or relationship. Maybe you're at that point, you're about to give up on some commitment that you've made in your life, or to compromise on something at home or work. Maybe looking to take that path of least resistance, I call it, then to face the challenge that's ahead of you. You're just going to let some stuff slide. Anybody longing for some hope, peace, joy, purpose, you know? Anybody longing to experience the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised his followers? Because whatever the challenge is, you need something more than yourself. And I want you to listen to these words from Paul, see if you can identify. He says, listen, I can't explain my actions. Here's why. I'm not able to do the things I want, and at the same time, I do the things I despise. See, I am convinced that when we are confronted with a challenge, most of the time, we know what to do. We just don't do it. You know, we end up doing what we don't want to do. You know, it's kind of like if you've ever been on a diet and you drive by Krispy Kreme, that neon light flashing, you know, hot donuts now. And friends, when you see the sign, well, when it's on, it's on, you know. Can't resist. You got to pull in donuts, you know, me love donuts. Yeah. And it just draws you. Now, it might be something else for you, but that point where, like, you want to be more patient. You're going to be more patient with your kids. You're like, I'm going to do this. And then you get home, ask them to do something, and they mouth back, get an attitude, roll their eyes, or act like you don't exist, or whatever. And suddenly, boom, you know, you lose your temper inside. You're like, they're not getting by with this. You know what you want to do, but you end up doing what you don't want to do. Does this sound familiar to you? You know, you're in that weak place. And when the odds are there, they're up against you, it feels like. And friends, you need God more than any time. You need God that you can depend on in that moment. You need a God who can defend you, can guide you, can protect you, you know, provide refuge, a strong tower in life. And what I want to do this morning is just, I want to look at a guy in the Old Testament by the name of Moses. And there's a few times in Moses' life where the odds are against him. I mean, they were stacked against him. And Moses struggled. And so many times you look at someone like Moses and you think, okay, his life's big, but he actually had struggles like you and I have in our lives. He faced challenges and difficulties, times he wasn't sure that he was up to the challenge, you know. And to help us kind of understand the situation, I'm going to give you cliff notes on Moses and his life and kind of bring us to the main topic. But the children of Israel, God's chosen people, an entire nation is being held captive. They're slaves in Egypt. Moses was born Hebrew. He's an Israelite, but he was raised in an Egyptian household. And one day Moses, he's out, I don't know, he's walking around or whatever, and he sees an Israelite slave that's being beaten by an Egyptian. And he loses it. In anger, Moses steps in. He wants to stop the abuse. And he strikes the Egyptian. And he kills him. And consequently, Moses becomes a fugitive. He ends up going out into the desert. He's trying to avoid the law. And so you fast forward this a lot. 40 years, he's been hiding out in the desert. He's taking care of sheep, trying to survive, and God appears to Moses in a burning bush. And he asks him to do something really difficult. And in fact, it's frightening what God asks him to do. He wants him to confront the Pharaoh of Egypt. This is the most powerful person in the world. And God says to Moses, he says, I've heard the cries and the prayers of my people. They want deliverance from this bondage. Moses, I choose you. I want you to lead my people and set my people free. When you read the story and the account, Moses isn't sure he's up to doing it. And in fact, he starts raising questions like, well, why would they follow me? And, you know, how are they going to believe? And all this stuff. I don't know if he was trying to get out of it or not, but he's going, this makes no sense. And Scripture says, then the Lord said to him, what's in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake. I love this. And he ran from it. I would have too. It's like, yeah, snake. I want you to think about for a moment, if God called you today to liberate an oppressed nation, to free them, what would you do? Well, I'd send in the big guns. I'd send in the military. You know, you devise a plan, don't you, to conquer the enemy, to free the people. But that's not what God does. God's plan for liberating the Israelites, well, no laser-guided missiles, no B-2 stealth bomber, no drones, no army, no navy, no marines, no Air Force, no Coast Guard, you know, no special forces. Instead, God sends a guy with a stick. Go to them and say, let my people go. Think about that. I'll be honest. When I read it, it doesn't make much sense. In fact, I don't think it's very intelligent. You know, when I read the story that way. But Moses finally concedes, he goes, he's got a stick in hand, it's a staff, it's to remind him of God's power, that God's protecting, God's defending. I think it was to remind Moses the whole time that God was with him. And so he stands before Pharaoh, and he says, Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. Pharaoh goes, nope, not happening. That staff became famous, became known as the staff of God. Moses confronts Pharaoh. Can you picture it? Wrong story, right? He confronts Pharaoh. Pharaoh doesn't bend. In fact, he basically says, bring it on. Well, and God did. Series of miracles, plagues, and Pharaoh finally caves and he sets God's people free. They pack up all their stuff. They left Egypt. They're out in the desert. And it's about that point that Pharaoh realizes, I need them. He realizes his whole workforce is gone. You know, there's no one to clean or cook, nobody to build houses, nobody to fix things. And so he sends the Egyptian army. They load up the chariots with weapons, and they go after the Israelites to recapture them. The Israelites can hear them. They can see them coming. I assume it's a big dust storm. They freak out. They're terrified. Well, they're surrounded by mountains, big body of water. They're hemmed in. There's nowhere to go. They're panicked. God says to Moses, raise your staff and stretch out your hands over the sea to divide the waters so the Israelites can go through to the sea on dry land. God delivers them. And when the Egyptians follow, Moses, he's got the staff holding the water up, and he drops the staff. The waters collapse, destroys their whole army. The Israelites now are wandering in the desert. They're thirsty. They come to Moses. They're asking for water. And God tells Moses, here we go again, take the staff, strike the rock. And so he obeys. And when he strikes the rock, it starts gushing water. And they drank to their fill. Miracle after miracle after miracle. The guy with the stick, the staff, well, it becomes a legend. In fact, I can imagine that when people saw Moses and he'd be walking through the camp, and you have to remember there's millions of Israelites, but when they would see him, they'd go, hey, it's Moses and the staff. Wow, look at that. I'll bet that staff was the topic of all kinds of conversations. People telling their children about it. You know, kind of a modern context might be, if you watch Star Wars, you know, then they're like, look, there's Yoda, the lightsaber. It's strong with the force, and you know how people responded to that kind of thing. It was Moses. Friends, the staff was famous. People were in awe of it. Strong with the Lord. Became a symbol, a flag, a banner. You know, for centuries when nations would go up against each other in combat, the banner was the important thing. You know, it for the soldiers, it was important to them because that banner was unifying for them. It stood as a symbol that they were part of something that was bigger than themselves. You know, a banner, it motivated, inspired, you know, for them to get beyond themselves, to move forward, to do something above and beyond what was normal. We all face battles, don't we? And we all look to different banners for encouragement. You know, I was thinking about examples of that, and anybody watching football today? I mean, there'll be all kinds of symbols of that today. And, you know, for some of you, just the fact I said NFL, you're thinking about an itty-bitty tiny arrowhead, you know. Or you think about the blue and yellow swishes. It's supposed to be ram horns, but they've changed it so much you can't even tell. Or maybe it's that itty-bitty baby, you know, kind of smoky wannabe bear that rally around. For me, it's the fierce, hard-as-nails diamonds, you know. It's the terrible towel going. It's the rallying point for me. They're symbols that inspire people to do things they normally wouldn't do. You know, people paint their faces for their team. They wear weird clothes. You know, paint their bodies. You know, take their shirts off and, you know, at their games. And you're going, what are you doing? And they're waving towels and they're doing the wave and they're chanting. It's a symbol and a banner, but it brings people together. Now, some of you are more serious than that. Well, your banner might be your family. It's the picture on your home screen of your phone or your computer at work. And it reminds you why you work the long hours. Reminds you why you travel or your sacrifice. Whatever it is that you're doing, it reminds you why you're doing it. Some of you might remember when the Twin Towers fell on 9/11. And in the middle of that confusion and pain and chaos and death, someone planted an American flag in downtown New York. And the first responders said when they saw it, that it inspired them, that it gave them courage as they were trying to deal with everything. It motivated people to join the military after that. People placed flags on their homes and their offices. It was a banner. And it was a symbol of hope, unity. It was a banner to say, stay in the fight. What's your fight? What's your greatest battle today? You know, maybe it's something in your marriage. Maybe it's something at work. Maybe it's a battle with your health, a struggle with addiction or financial challenge. You know, whatever it is, you need a banner. Something that will inspire you, will give you courage and strength to fight the fight. You know, Exodus chapter 17, Moses and the people are in a great battle. They're battling with the Amalekites. Moses has no military experience, okay? He's leading the people. He has no military experience. And his brilliant strategy is, okay, guys, I want you to run down the hill. I want you to engage and fight in the valley. I'm going to stand up here, and I'm going to hold the staff of God in the air. Everybody got it? That's the plan. Everybody on three. One, two, three. Go. They charge down the hill. They start fighting. Moses is holding the staff up. A staff that they had looked to many, many times. Staff that had inspired them on numerous occasions. But the battle, it doesn't unfold initially the way that Moses thought it would. Moses is holding the staff. I imagine he was figuring that, like, the Amalekites would, like, all fall over dead or, you know, something like that. They charged down the hill. They thought it would be easy. But it was a real battle. They were in a war. You ever done that? Charged into something? I'm going to fix this. I'm going to change that. I'm going to be more disciplined. I'm going to, you fill in the blank. And so you charge down, and you're like, come on, God, I'm going to do this. You're running down the hill, you're praying for a miracle, and you suddenly realize you're in a battle, a real battle. You're fighting to survive. You know, Moses expected a miracle right away. In fact, up to that point, every time Moses had used the staff, the miracles happened instantaneously almost. Most of the time when we pray, if we're honest, we want an answer when? Now, right now, as the words roll off my lips. You know, God, help me with this. Get me out of this mess. I need healing and I need it now. Moses thought God would respond quickly. But it says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But when he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Can you picture it? I'm sure initially Moses is psyched up. He's holding the staff high where everybody could see it. They see the banner. They're inspired. It's given them courage. But there was one problem. He got tired. And he lowered his arms. And as soon as he did, things turn. They start losing the battle. You know, God, why aren't you coming through? My friends are dying down there. The battle took all day long. Think about that. 8, 10 hours. You ever try to hold your hands up for 10 minutes? Moses' arms have been up there 8, maybe 10 hours. He's ready to collapse. It says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. So he sits down. He's trying to get his bearings. Aaron and Hur held up his hand, held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. You picture it? He tried to raise his hands, and he couldn't. Aaron and Hur, they stood by Moses. They're holding his arms up. And at the end of the day, the Israelites win the battle. They got the victory. But it was not the way that they thought it was going to happen. You know, it was hard fought. They had to battle for it. Friends, I figured out sometimes God works immediately, instantaneous, kind of like a microwave. But sometimes it's like a crock pot, and it takes time. It's that slow simmering process where God's working through things, teaching us, you know, growing us, helping us. And at the end of the day, the end of a long point, he moves. End of the day, the battle was over. Scripture records this. It says, Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." What's my banner? The Lord is my banner, Moses says. There's something significant about Moses calling the staff the Lord's banner. You know, when the Israelites were in the battle against the Amalekites, you know, there's something recorded, or when you read through the story, you never find a point where God says to Moses, hey, Moses, go up on top of the hill, hold the staff really high, and I'll perform a miracle. Now, God might have had that conversation, but it's not recorded anywhere. Doesn't appear God ever said that. But here's what I think. I think Moses and the people of Israel had become so dependent on that staff, the staff that God had performed miracles through. The staff had become a focus for many people instead of God. I think people were looking to the staff for inspiration. Let me ask you this. What's the staff that you look to? What's the banner in your life? Where do you look for motivation, courage, inspiration? You know, it might be your family, might be your spouse, might be your success, your finances. It might be some self-help mantra that you just repeat over and over and over. What's the banner in your life? Because if it's not God, it's just a stick, friends. Where are you looking for inspiration? If it's not the Lord, I will tell you, it will not sustain you. It will not hold you up. It might get you a little ways down the road. I think Moses realized that the people were looking to the staff. And they needed to be reminded that all that mattered was God. And so Moses makes this proclamation. He says, "The Lord is my banner." And I know you may be going, okay, well, all well and good, but how's that going to help me with my problems? How's that going to help me every day as I face life? And here's the deal. When you're at your wit's end, when you're in a battle, a struggle, when you're at that point where you're ready to give up, you got to remember, the Lord is my banner. The Lord's my banner. The Lord will inspire you. The Lord can encourage you to keep going. The Lord can hold you up, can give you strength, will cheer you on, will keep you going so that you don't give up, so that you don't bail. You know, I have had difficult times in my life and in my ministry. There have been times that I have felt overwhelmed, beaten down. I've got depleted before. You know, I felt hemmed in. I couldn't see any way through. There was no way out as I looked at it. And there have been times I have charged in and I thought, oh, this will be easy. And I got down the hill and I realized it's a battle I'm in. And friends, I've gotten tired. And I've wanted to quit before. I wasn't expecting there to be that kind of struggle. And I'll be honest, it's frustrating. And it wears you down. I've been in situations where, figuratively, my arms are tired. I was ready to collapse. My wife goes, "Let me help you hold those up." A friend, a colleague has lifted me up. You know, reminded me, you belong to God. God's bigger than this. Hang in there. You know, God will see you through. The Lord is my banner. And I found hope. Inspiration to keep hanging in there, keep trusting God, standing strong. There were a lot of things, as I look back on it, they just weren't clear in those moments. And when I think about it these days, it's very humbling because I can see how God worked, how God used people, you know, made a way. The Lord is my banner. And because of that, I'm inspired to never give up because of what God has done. I believe he can do. Maybe not the way I wanted, or the way I thought, but that's how God works. The psalmist says, but you've raised a banner for those who fear you. A rallying point in the face of attack. Friends, God is the rallying point for you. You may feel like you're weak today. Some of you feel beaten down. You may feel like there's no hope. You may be thinking, I can't get through this, whatever it is. Push against it. Push against those thoughts. Fight. Do not give up. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about that challenge that you're facing. That thing that maybe you're ready to give up on. Resist your natural tendencies. The natural tendency is to retreat, isn't it? I'm saying stand up against that. And in faith, say, the Lord's my banner. The Lord's my banner. The Lord's my banner in this. What do we say? What do we say? The Lord's my banner. You make the Lord your banner? I'm not saying you fix it today or this week or this month. But when the Lord's your banner, he will see you through whatever it is. There's a day coming, again, maybe not today. It might be months from now. It might be years from now. You look back and go, the Lord was my banner. The Lord got me through that. Let me tell you how God worked. That's the promise from God. That's the promise from God. Let's stand. Let's pray together. Our holy God, we bring our brokenness to you. We bring our challenges, those difficulties, those struggles. And Lord, we lay them at your feet. And today we declare, you're our banner. You're the only one we look to. And God, I pray that you would infuse people with strength and wisdom, that they'd experience your grace, that, God, they would see a way where it appears there is no way. But you open doors. You clear the path. And God, we ask you to do that, to breathe hope, that in the midst of chaos that we'd experience your peace. In the midst of the struggle, we'd find your joy. God, may we honor you with the way we walk through not just life, but how we walk through problems. And we keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord. God, we thank you. We trust you. We place our hands and our problems in yours. God, I pray that you would give everyone safe travels, that they would know your grace your love, your power this day. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said, amen. Let's worship together.